Thank you, John, for that reading, and we'll ask you for us to look at that passage as we begin our study tonight. We welcome everyone, appreciate that you're here, and hope that our discussion will be fruitful for us. If you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to become one, and as God's people, we want to always be aware of our need to compare our thoughts and our actions with the Word of God, that we might correct every sin, and that we might stand in fellowship with Him and doing His will day by day. The word edification, now that's a religious-sounding word, right? But not a Bible-sounding word, but what does it mean? I mean, Kelly, do you use that word every day? Probably not. We don't use that word much these days. But, you know, we derive some words from it. If we know what an edifice is, a building, that gives you a clue to what this word's going to be about. We talk about being built up. And in fact, in the passage John read for us in Colossians 2 and verse 7, he used the phrase, he said, built up, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Spiritual edification, being built up spiritually, is what we want to discuss tonight from the Word of God. It's something that we all need. Every one of us need this being built up. None of us stand alone or go it alone when we're talking about our faith. In fact, Paul in this passage has on his heart the Colossians and the Laodiceans and others that they would be encouraged together in their hearts and knit together in love and have this attain these spiritual riches of full assurance of understanding that's available in Christ, because as he points out, in Christ all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden there, and therefore don't be lured by the persuasive words of men to other treasures, counterfeit treasures that would plunder your true treasure as found in Jesus. But I want you to note about this building up in verses 5 and 6 and 7. We'll allude to this later. But you see there that he talks about, he's encouraged by their good order, their good arrangement, and the steadfastness or the stability of their faith in Christ. Their personal faith was stable, it was well arranged, but what arranged it well? Well, he explains that in verses 6 and 7. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, now so walk in Him rooted, that is, you're grounded and built up, there's the building aspect, and established or settled in the faith. He talks about your faith in verse 5, our personal faith, and he talks about the faith in verse 7. And in fact, he says, these are things as you have been taught. So the faith is something that's taught that stabilizes our personal faith. And that's really what edification is all about. It's about building us up spiritually to ground us, to settle us, to stabilize and secure us, to arrange us well spiritually, so that we share in the rich spiritual blessings with an assurance, a full assurance of understanding that's found in Christ Jesus. Now, how do we achieve that? Spiritual edification. You see, a lot of churches of men offer vain attempts to achieve that strength, that spiritual strength, that spiritual building up. We see it all around us. We see the churches that have, for a long, long, very long time, have thought that the work of the church is to be a service organization. And through community service, they believe that's building them up. Social activism is a big part of a lot of liberal denominations, and they think in that they're being strengthened in some spiritual way. Even churches that would consider themselves more conservative on that spectrum of liberal and conservative believe that if they can arrange and organize food and fun and frolic, recreation of various things, that will strengthen the people spiritually. That will be edifying the brethren. And often that's that's offered particularly to young people, that's arranging recreational activity will somehow edify the young people. The question is that Bible language, is that Bible definition? Is that what the Bible is talking about here when it talks about being able to be steadfast in your personal faith? How is that achieved? In this text, it's achieved by being established in the faith. That is the gospel that's preached. Galatians 1:11, 1:23, the faith is the gospel. So the question then is, do we find in Scripture that the act of building us up spiritually, or the verb literally meant to build a house. So we're building ourselves spiritually. We're promoting spiritual growth and development of our character as believers, as Christians. Is that accomplished in all these different ways? Social activism, recreation, social gospel, community service, political agendas. Is that edification? Is that building us up and solidifying us in the faith? Is that what the work that the church is to be involved in? There are a lot of modern efforts, like I say, to accomplish it in that way. But all these fail to address the spiritual growth of the Christian. You're going to look in vain to see social activities producing the kind of edification we're going to talk about tonight, strengthening us in our personal faith according to the faith. Now, in Acts 9 and 31, just to begin our review of this a little bit, in Acts 9 and verse 31, it says, "The churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified." Okay, so whatever this, they were built up. They were edified. They were strengthened. Their spiritual growth was being promoted and developed. How was that? Well, it says they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. So as the gospel was spreading out in those regions, the faith was being preached. Personal faith was taking hold. That word was being planted in the hearts of men and women, and it was bearing fruit. Just like the parable that Jesus taught about the good soil and the seed in good hearts bearing fruit. They were growing, they were being strengthened, they were being edified, the word says there. They were being built up in their personal faith. That was being promoted. How was it being? Was that being promoted by church-sponsored camps? Church-promoted recreation of some way? I mean, today we have Churches of Christ that offer weekend retreats and involve as a part of that recreation. And all of this designed to spiritually strengthen people. Young people, especially, seems like. Young people, high school, college age. That seems to be the direction a lot of times in those sorts of things. Well, you search in vain to find that definition and that concept in the Bible, that recreation, that just getting together socially is how you edify each other. Now, we can be together as Christians, and we ought to be. Please, let's don't confuse the point we're trying to make. When we're together, we're to be encouraging one another and edifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, he says, "Therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, even as also you do." The question is not that we need whether or not we need to edify each other. The question is, how do we do that? How's that accomplished? Is it just by being together socially? How's that work? What's the Scripture say? What's the Scripture teach us? Well, let's look at Jude 20 and 21. There, Jude wrote, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith." Now, we compare that back to Colossians 2, and Paul was glad to hear about their good order and the steadfastness of their faith in Christ as they were rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, in the gospel. So now he's telling them, you build yourself up, how? On your most holy faith. Well, how's faith produced? It comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is trusting God and taking Him at His Word and doing His will. Following His Word. Now He tells us through Jude, do that yourself. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. In the Bible, edification, this spiritual growth of Christians was not through church-provided and sponsored recreational activities. It wasn't social events. It wasn't that sort of thing. It was inseparably connected with the Word of Truth, with the faith that builds up your personal faith. Do you want to be edified? Do you want to be strengthened? Do you want to edify one another? Then at the heart of that has to be the Word of God. See, we can build each other up in personal relationships and be just as lost as can be. We can have a strong personal relationship, Dan and I over here, and we can be just as lost as anything. That's it. The relational aspect, and we can play golf together every day. Maybe I'd get better. You don't have to say yes. But that doesn't mean we're built up spiritually. That doesn't edify us in our faith, you see. And yet churches think that's the way you build people up. Let's have our social activities. Let's arrange for the young people. Let's get the church involved in all these different programs, and that's going to build everybody up. Well, it's going to build relationships, but it's not going to be the edification of your faith, because that's going to be accomplished by the faith, the gospel, Colossians 2, 5 through 7. Now the question is, what kind of edification do we want for ourselves? How do we want to be built up? We want to build up relationships. But you see, our relationships must be built upon the Word of God. And our spiritual strength must be built upon the Word of God. Not just because I have a relationship with somebody. No, but that my relationship is with God through His Word. That's what we want to look at. That's what we want to see in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 16, in a passage where Christ gave gifts to us. He gave gifts, it says, beginning verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, and he's making his application here, showing this as a fulfillment. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Jesus was ascended to the right hand of God. He had captured sin. He was now ruling and reigning over sin, which had held men and women captive unto death. But now, he's had victory over sin and death. And now as he ascends on high, he gives the spoils to us. The gifts. The gifts there is the idea of the spoils of this victory. You know, in the Old Testament, you see Israel having a victory against the enemies, and the spoils were gathered and the spoils were shared. Well, Christ gives spoils as he's been victorious over sin and death. Well, what are they? Verse 11, and after he explains 9 and 10, now this, he ascended. What does that mean? But that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. That is, he died and was buried. He also descended is also the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. He's at the right hand of God. So now we've established that now he's in the place of sovereign rule. He's in the place of authority. He's going to distribute the spoils that give victory over sin and death. How did he do that? What are the gifts? Verse 11. Well, it says, he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's our word. The edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The faith there, you see, the gospel, the united unity of the gospel and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children. Now watch this, if the body is edified, to that extent, we're no longer children. See, if we're equipped by these gifts, we can serve, and the body, the church is built up so that we're no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by cunning craftiness and deceitful plottings. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Build up, grow up. How? By speaking the truth in love. So here's, and he said, from whom the whole body, that is from Christ, the whole body, being joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So again, there's that word edifying, the building up of the church, when every member of the church, every member of the body is supplying his and her part in tandem, working together for this maturity in Christ, for this unity in Christ, for for the benefit of these gifts, so we can serve the purposes that He's given us as His church. The gifts, that's what they accomplish, you see. Look at the words in verses 12 and 13. Saints, the equipping of the saints, the holy ones, the Christians, to edify the body of Christ, that's the church, till we, there's the church, there's the body, there's the saints. The saints, the body of Christ, we. He's talking about us. Christ gave us gifts so that we can be built up, we can be edified in our personal faith, according to the faith, according to the word of truth. And that's why these gifts are important. What do those gifts have in common? Look at those gifts. He gave some to be apostles and prophets, and then some pastor, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What they have in common is the word of God. Think about this. Apostles and prophets. Well, these were the people who were as witnesses of the resurrected Christ, the apostles, were given the Word of God by revelation. They confirmed it with miracles, and they preached it by inspiration. They were given the Word of God, the mind of God, to preach to the whole world. The prophets were God's mouthpieces. They were inspired to speak God's Word. So we have miraculously inspired and equipped men who were given God's Word. Now, why? Verse 12 says that the reason that they were was for our equipping, to equip us. He didn't say Christ gave a youth director to equip us, you know, a seniors minister or a youth pastor to equip. He gave apostles and prophets to equip us, to complete us. The word perfect is in the Old American Standard. It's the idea of completing us so that we can serve, so the body can be built up. But not just that then. Note he said he gave some to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The evangelist is the one who proclaims the good news. The pastors are elders who feed, shepherd the sheep, feed the flock of God, Acts 20 and 28. Teachers instruct in the Word of God. Pastors feed the Word of God. Evangelists preach the Word of God. The commonality, the common thread through all those gifts is God's Word. We will talk about the work of the church to edify. We have a fundamental work as a church to be building each other up with the Word of God, so that when we come alongside to encourage somebody, like Paul was in Colossians, the second chapter, that's anchored in the Word of God. The encouragement we give needs to come from God's Word, because that's going to give us the direction we need, the comfort we need, the assurance we need, the hope we need, or the correction we need. Now, I may have a lot of pretty good think-sos, and I might think this and I might think that, but really whatever we think has to subordinate ourselves to what God says. Because it's God's Word that builds people up. Not my words or your words, God's Word. And so we've got to use it to build each other up. If we're going to accomplish really what God intends these gifts to do for us. Now, we can reject them. A lot of people do. They say, we don't need the apostles' teaching. That's old, that's antiquated, that's mythology. They can cast it aside. But by doing that, they reject salvation. They reject personal faith. They reject the very edification that God expects us to have when we are His people. Verse 15 is important in that text. Speaking the truth in love. See, it's the truth that the apostles and prophets preached, that the evangelists, pastors, and teachers use, again, to equip us to serve and to be built up in the church. Don't you see that in verse 17 beginning here? If that wasn't enough, Paul went on to explain that now I testify to you in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, see, here we are equipped with the Word of God through these gifts Christ gave. We're equipped with this speaking this truth to do our part to increase our personal faith and increase the strength of the church so that we no longer live like we used to live. Like the Gentiles, he says, their understanding was darkened, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, works of uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've heard Him and been taught by Him, even as the truth is in Jesus. Now there it is again, verse 21. The apostles and prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are the ones from whom we learned Christ. We didn't learn Christ from a potluck. We didn't learn Christ by a social gathering. We learned Christ through the work of the apostles and prophets. We learned Christ through the truth that's spoken from God through these men, inspired, directed, and then that word that we take today, and when we use it today to teach, we're built up. We learn Christ. We hear Christ. We're taught by Christ. As truth is in Jesus. That's where our edification comes. It's from the Word of God. It's from the Word of God. And to misunderstand that and to think that really it's this Bible preaching, this Bible study, this learning the Bible, that's just so old-fashioned. That's just so old tradition. And we need something different today is to cast away the very gifts that Christ's given us to do the work that we need to do to actually be built up. We just cast aside the very plan of God for us to be stronger. Now, we can do that in a lot of ways besides adding the social gospel to our regimen of work. As I said before, I mean, we can become dependent upon our own wisdom rather than God's, you know, our own will rather than God's revelation, and we're going to do the same damage to our edification, to our building up. We're not going to grow if we rely upon ourselves. We're going to grow when we rely upon the truth of the Word of God, and that's what I want to look at with you here through the rest of the lesson is using God's Word to be built up in the most holy faith, to strengthen our personal faith built upon the faith, the Word of God. Of course, to do that, we need to grow in our knowledge of the Bible. If in fact it is the Bible, it is the Word of God that enables us to be built up spiritually, then I need to know it. I need to partake of it. And if I don't know it, then how can I legitimately be edified? How can I understand what I need to know to grow spiritually and to be stable, to be settled and steadfast in my faith? And so in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18, the Word of God says, therefore you also, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So to be built up is to promote our spiritual growth. So now he says, grow in the knowledge of the Lord.
Why do I need to have this knowledge, Peter? Well, he said in verse 11, I need to have it so that I can live in holy conduct and godliness. He said, seeing these things are about to be dissolved, these things are going to be dissolved, the world's going to end. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?
How am I going to learn to be holy? How am I going to learn to be godly?
Except in the knowledge of the Lord. Learning Christ through the apostles and prophets. Through the preaching of the Word. Through the being fed the Word. Being instructed the Word. Look at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless.
To be diligent, to be without blame, to be unblameable, is going to only come
by knowing God's Word, so I can live God's Word instead of fall away from God and His Word. Verse 17. Right? Don't be led away by the error of the wicked.
Don't fall from your own steadfastness. Be built up. Be strengthened. Be edified. To do that, we've got to know the Word of God so we can live it. So we can handle it properly. 2 Timothy 2:15. So that we can grow to maturity.
We can accomplish the very reason for which Christ has given us gifts that all center upon His Word. So we can serve, and we can be built up in the as the body of Christ.
Well, so let's develop a relationship with the Bible. Let's
learn the Bible. Let's allow it to be our lamp.
Psalmist said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path." Meditate upon it. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the days. Bible knowledge through using it, opening it, learning it, and then living it. That's how we're going to be edified. God's Word.
We've got to use God's Word to grow to our final salvation. We need to be edified so that we reach our final salvation. Now you say, well, I'm already saved. Well, yes, we've been saved from our past sin, but you know the Bible talks about that now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Romans 13 and verse 11. And so that as Christians, we're to continue to be obedient to bring our salvation. Philippians 2:12, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is, bring your own salvation to a full accomplishment, to a complete conclusion. You've been saved from your past sin, but you need to continue to be faithful. You need, as he goes on to say, holding forth fast the word of life, verse 16.
Hold fast the word of life. What? So you can bring your salvation to a full accomplishment. That is, you see, we need to be faithful unto death to have final deliverance from wrath. We need to live our faith every day.
We don't need to live, you know, we don't need to live like we believe once saved, always saved. The Bible says that's a false doctrine. So we as God's people need to be careful that we don't live like we believe it. And carelessly abandon truth, but say, oh well, but I'm a Christian. No. 1 Peter 1 and 5 says, who are kept, that is talking about us, Christians. We have an inheritance laid up for us, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept, guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's a salvation that's yet to be revealed, the eternal inheritance. Look at verse 9. If we'll remain steadfast and allow the situations of life to purify our faith, verses 6 and 7 and 8, even the trials that he mentions there, he says, we'll receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Yes, we have salvation from our past sins, but if we're not being built up in our faith, if we're not getting stronger and living our faith, then we have no legitimate hope of an eternal inheritance.
We need to be edified as we grow toward our final redemption when Jesus returns. We need to be edified so we can resist temptation. We need God's Word in our life, using it to resist temptation. To know what sin is, to know how we are tempted by it, and to know the ways of escape so that we can refuse it. That's what the Word of God's about. Hebrews 5 and 14 says, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He says we grow to maturity, we grow up spiritually so by using God's Word. So we can judge, we can discern good and evil. By the Word of God. Not by what I feel, not by what I think, not by what I've experienced, but by what God's Word says. That's how we're edified. That's how it helps us to resist sin. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, prove all things or test all things. Hold fast what is good and abstain from every form of evil. We're to have positive authority for what we believe. He says, prove or test all things. We hold fast to the good. We hold fast to those things that are in harmony with truth. And as we do that, and as we live truth, then we develop the self-control that we need to keep doing that. See, when we commit ourselves to follow the truth and allow it to bear its fruit in our lives, we use it to discern what's good and what's evil, to choose the good and reject the evil, then, like Paul, we can say, I run, but not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not just, just wearing myself out here for no benefit. He says there's purpose, there's aim, there's a goal here in the self-denial. I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. I refuse the evil and cling to the good, as Romans 12 says. Lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, Paul held himself to that standard. We need to hold ourselves to that same standard of self-discipline directed by truth, directed by the use of the Word of God. Things written beforehand were written for our learning. The examples of Israel, 1 Corinthians 10, are to teach us, to build us up, to find the ways of escape, rather than to plunge into sin. Again, it is God's Word that's at the root of this. If I want to get stronger, I've got to spend time with God's Word and then live that. Use it to resist the temptations. Use the knowledge we know, the things we know and have learned of Christ. We need to be edified to grow in grace. This edification is growing in grace. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and knowledge, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. God's Word is the Word of His grace. It teaches us to deny sin and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2:11 and 12. Again, our connection with the Word of God. It's inseparable. If I want to live in grace, if I want to receive God's grace, and if I want to develop the character of grace, then I've got to have God's Word in my heart and living it in my life. I've got to have this relationship with the Word of God. Because after all, again, remember, Paul said these gifts Christ gave, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they're threaded together with the Word of God, to equip us, to complete us, to enable to serve and to be built up as the body of Christ. Acts 20 and 32, when Paul would see the elders at Ephesus no more, he said, now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He left them with God's Word. I commend you to God and His Word, the word of His grace. It'll build you up. And that's why we have Bible classes arranged, is to help the young people be built up in the Word and the adults to be built up in the Word. But that's why we are to be studying God's Word beyond the Bible classes that we have. So we can be built up and have an inheritance that has been arranged for those who are sanctified in truth. Truth sanctifies us. John 17:17. And so we need to be edified in it. We need to use God's Word to grow as teachers. You know, the Bible teaches the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. See, we have to, as we grow in knowing God's Word, to resist temptation and to push toward and to attain the final redemption, the final salvation. As we grow in grace, we're to grow in our ability to share it with others, to instruct others. This is God's arrangement. As parents, we teach our children. We teach them the Word of God so that they can choose that. Friends, neighbors, schoolmates, at work, wherever the opportunity is, relatives. It's about trying to be teachers. But we have to be built up if we're going to be a teacher. We have to be strengthened if we're going to be a teacher. And the strength has to come from the Word of God, not teaching the will and wisdom of men. So you see, again, we're back to the Word of God. And that's what we need to be teaching, is what the Scriptures are saying to us, because that's God speaking to us. You know, we use God's Word in worship for edification. Remember Paul, or the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10:24-5, said, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So the
being mindful of each other has the effect of not abandoning our assembling, but seeing this as opportunity to be built up and to build one another up in our faith, as a moment of edification. Worship is about our spiritual building up, among other things, as we adore God and honor God, as we've sung praises to Him and pray to Him. There's the benefit of our own building up. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Look at the connection here to the Word of God. "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Our singing, he says, has the effect of teaching and warning one another. It has the effect of helping to promote us spiritually, promote our spiritual strength. Personally, when we're engaged personally, it's an opportunity for us to get stronger. When our worship is in spirit and truth, you see, John 4:24. And at the same time, to help others, help each other be built up. But once more, it's connected. You see it in the verse. It's connected to the Word of Christ. Word of Christ being, when it's dwelling in us richly, then this is the outgrowth. This is the effect of that. The work of the church in edification and our personal responsibility to be built up is as we apply the Word of God in our lives. And that takes us back to Colossians 2:5-8, where we began. Let's read that again as we bring these thoughts to a close. It says there in verse 5, "Though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As therefore you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." And then he goes on to warn against false messages that would destroy our treasure, our spiritual stability in Christ Jesus. If you back up to verse 2, you see his point. He says his interest for them, indeed for us, so that they would be knit together in love by attaining the riches of full assurance and understanding of Christ. And how are we going to know Christ? How are we going to understand Christ? How are we going to have a full assurance of understanding? Well, it's in the faith.
It's in the Word of God. And that's the source
for our personal growth, for our personal strengthening, is by letting God's Word have its work in us.
So when Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:11,
he said, "Comfort one another and edify one another, even as also you do." There's the pattern for us to do ourselves for one another.
Comfort, that is, encourage one another
and edify one another. Build up one another as you're doing. Build each other up in the faith so that our personal faith is rooted and grounded and established, settled, so that we remain steadfast
unto the day of the coming of the Lord.
If you're not as strong as you know you ought to be in Christ because there's sin in your life, then you correctly assess that sin weakens and sin destroys. And in Christ that can be removed so that you can become stronger and built up in your faith. That begins by becoming a Christian and continues as God's people to examine ourselves and to remove every sin so that we can be strengthened through the Word of God in our personal lives of faith.
If we can help you accomplish that, to become a child of God, to repent and be baptized, or to correct sin that needs to be corrected, or seeking the prayers of each other together, we want to be able to do that, and we urge you to come while we stand and sing.